Father, we're so grateful. The Bible says you are the Holy One of Israel that inhabits the praise of your people. And we've seen that already. For this, we're grateful. As we come to share your word briefly, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. On thanksgiving, Lord, anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. And put the same unction anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who hear me remotely, electronically. That you will fill us, our hearts, with a fresh revelation of thanksgiving. A fresh revelation of who you are. A fresh revelation of the grace and the mercy that you show to humanity. A fresh revelation of all you have done for us. So that, Lord God, our gratitude will not just be in words, but our gratitude will be from the heart. Our gratitude will be from our actions. Our gratitude will be from our attitudes. Our gratitude will be from our obedience. In Jesus' name. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings I mentioned, agreed and said, well, this is Thanksgiving Sunday. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Amen. And like I said at the beginning of the service, this whole service is dedicated to Thanksgiving. However, I'm going to share a few words about Thanksgiving just to put us into remembrance. Most of us know these things already, but like Peter said, he said, I will not be negligent to put you into remembrance of these things, even though you know them. And then, of course, there are some of us who may not even know some of these things. And some of us may have known it, but we've let them slip. And so we need to have a refreshing of our memories and of our hearts about these things. First thing I want to say is that we must always remember why we do what we do. Down through the years, the centuries, and the millennia, what has evolved into what is known as church traditions are things that were started in the spirit but wound up in the flesh. You find in many churches they do what they call ikore, thanksgiving and all of that. But sometimes, and I do not mean this in any harsh, critical kind of way, this just happens to be a fact, you know, some of the people, you know, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing. And so, they don't do it properly. And it does not rise to God like it says in the scriptures as a sweet-smelling savour. The Bible speaks about giving thanks well. And from that, we draw this understanding that it is possible to give thanks, but not to do it well. You can give thanks, but it might not be done properly. Hence, the importance of these few things I'm going to share with us, so that we do what we do with faith, with understanding, and it will be done well, so that God will receive it, God will be refreshed by it, God will be blessed by it. In my personal Bible readings in recent times, I don't remember exactly where, somewhere in the Minor Prophets, you know, I can't remember exactly, you know what God told the people? He said, take away all your songs. He said, my soul is tired of them. Can you believe God said that? He said, I'm tired of all your songs and all your bull offerings and goat offerings. Because even though they were going through all of those motions, their lifestyle was not pleasing to God. So he said to them, all your songs, they said they are a burden to me. Take away your songs. Take away all your, you know, you talked about songs, you know, your vials, your songs, and your sacrifices. And by the grace and the mercy of God, we don't want that to be our portion. Consequently, it is very important to understand, firstly, what thanksgiving is. Secondly, why we do it. Thirdly, how to do it properly so that it will be a refreshing to God and not a burden to Him. That's what He told children of Israel. He says, your son, he said, they're a burden. If you look for it somewhere. Yes, thank you, Amos. Thank you for picking it. Take away from me the noise of thy songs, and I will not hear the melody of thy vials. Now, of course, that's not the will of God, but that was his feelings. And it's good to, you know, God is a person. You have to be able to download God's feelings. How, don't just do things. You have to know how God feels about what you're doing. Go to the next verse, or the verse preceding it. Amos 5:23. He said, but let judge, exactly. They were not allowing this, you know, and righteous. This is one of the favorite verses of Martin Luther King Jr., you know, when it was the civil rights time. Let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Go up, I think verse 22. I knew it was in the Minor Prophets, but I read it recently. Aha! Though they offer me burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept it. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Verse 23 is the one we read before. It says, take away from me. Verse 24. Then go to, is there a verse 25? I'm not sure. Go to verse 24. Right. Have you offered me sacrifice and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Next verse. But you have borne the tabernacle of Ha, your Moloch and Chewin, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Let me stop there. These guys were bringing, you know, songs to God. They were offering, you know, animals, you know, animal sacrifices. But God was not impressed. God said, take them away, take them away. You know why? They mixed it with idolatry. Secondly, they were not walking in justice and righteousness. So all the other things they were doing were not pleasing to God. And that's why I said what I said at the beginning of this message. In a lot of places you find, you know, it's very, in most traditional Christian churches, they have so many seasons. There's a place, in Yoruba language, we call it Ikore, which means, you know, harvest and Thanksgiving. You find the people will come and they will, you know, do all kinds of ceremonies and everything. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the lifestyle does not back this the Thanksgiving. So it's like this. You know, the same people who come to church to give thanks, you know, some of them will be, you know, having grudges against each other. Some of them will be backbiting. Some of them will be, you know, in strife. You know, some of them will be in, you know, all kinds of things. Some of them will be living a lifestyle of adultery, fornication, living a life that is displeasing to God. And yet they will come to church. This is very true in many of the, in all the churches really, even the Pentecostals now, many of them are falling into this same error. You know, and you see them come to church and sing with gusto and everything. Yet, the heart, it says, their heart is far from me. These people draw near to me with their lips. So I said all of that to say this. We're doing the Thanksgiving today. Of course, we all know this in this church, you know, because I mentioned it, you know, late last year. And of course, I think it was last week, I mentioned it again here in church. So many of us are very aware of what this is all about. The most important thing about Thanksgiving and offering to God is your heart must be in what you're doing, and your lifestyle must back it up. The scripture says that they that worship me must worship me in spirit, which is the spiritual, you know, thinking and all of that, and in truth. You see, I can't worship in spirit and then not worship in truth. It's not going to work. And if I do worship in truth, then I should worship also in spirit, because the truth, which is God's word, it said, thy word is truth, will lead me to the things of the spirit. And so, I want to just put us into remembrance a few things. In the New Testament, we are told to give spiritual sacrifices unto God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and it's verse 15. It's one of the my favorite scriptures along these lines. Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 15. And this is written by Paul, and he says, Hebrews, excuse me, chapter 13 and verse 15. There we go. He says, by him, that is by the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, I didn't hear you folks, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God once in a while. You know, many Christians don't do this. Now let me say something about that. I, Olubi Johnson, for a long time I wasn't doing this. It's recently, when I say recently, in the last year or two or three, that I've actually started doing this practically. In other words, I of course I've always used to praise God, but it certainly was not continual. But because by the grace and the mercy of God, of the habit I have gotten into of praying without ceasing, I have found that thanksgiving is intricately interwoven. So I can hardly pray any prayer now without thanksgiving. I cannot tell you how many times a day I thank God. Because every prayer has thanksgiving inside. So I now understand what Paul is writing here, that it should be continual. That is the fruit of our lips. I didn't hear you. Giving thanks to his name. But to do good. Do not divorce verse 16 from verse 15. And communicate. The word communicate there means fellowship. Koinonia. It means physical giving. It means things like, you know, money, food, health, like what we did in Christmas, benevolence. When you to communicate. You say, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So there's the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Then there's the sacrifice of doing good. And then there's the sacrifice of sharing, communication. So you cannot divorce the sacrifice of thanksgiving from the sacrifice of doing good. And many times to do good requires sacrifice. You know, maybe somebody has a problem, you know, and you've budgeted for some money. You know, you have some things that you have. But this person comes and the Holy Spirit now says, take that thing you've budgeted and give to them. It's a sacrifice. Because it's going to cost you something. Now, the Bible says such things God is good. That's what God wants us to be doing for one another. Of course, with the wisdom of God, you don't do that, you know, just foolishly and for everybody. But as the Holy Spirit leads you, there are times, you know, somebody will have a need. Sometimes they won't even ask you. But you will see it. And the Holy Spirit will say, help them. You say, but God, I wanted to use that money to do this and to do that. He said, make it a sacrifice. You know, help them. He said, I'll give it back to you. And you know what? God never fails. He'll give it back to you. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. And that which he has given, he will give it back again. And so, we have this concept of spiritual sacrifices. And this is in contrast with the physical sacrifices, the animal sacrifices they used to make in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they used to kill bullocks and goats and, you know, physical animals. But in the New Testament, the Bible says we are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And that's why today, as New Testament Christians, we don't go and start bringing bullocks and goats and, you know, and animals to come and sacrifice. There's no need for that. Jesus has died and paid the price. You know, he was the ultimate sacrifice as the Lamb of God. So we don't need those physical. But we do and should give spiritual sacrifices consistently unto God, like it says here. And the Bible tells us exactly what it says, the fruit of our lips. So you can't do it silently. One amen. You cannot do it because it is the fruit of your lips. It has to come out of your mouth. It has to be audible. Hello? It's the fruit of your lips. Why? Because you're speaking words. And the Bible says words are spirit and they are life. This is what brings us to the second thing, which is why do we give thanks? And the Lord gave me this revelation some years ago, and I shared it here in church. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 53, at the close of the gospel, after Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible tells that the disciples, the apostles, went to the temple daily, and they were thanking and blessing God. And the thought came to me, how can you bless God? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, it says, without contradiction, the less is blessed by the greater. Am I greater than God? How can I bless God? I can't bless God. What am I going to give God? How can I bless God? Yet the Bible says that they blessed God. So what is he talking about? He's saying, telling us that the fruit of our lips is a blessing to God. And the Lord gave me this understanding. Because God is always giving out. The Bible says, of him, through him, and to him are all things. When you praise God, when you thank God, and the life and power come from your heart, the fruit of your lips, you know, through your words, when it gets to God, it refreshes him. And the Bible says so. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Then the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. You know, these are scriptures that are obscure to a lot of Christians. You know, because we have this utopic idea of God that, you know, God is omnipotent. And he is. Don't misunderstand me. You know, and he doesn't need anything. Well, that's not totally true. The Bible says, for the Father, you know, seeketh such to worship him. God needs our fellowship. He needs our praise. He needs our thanksgiving because they refresh him. It's just like you, if you go, maybe you're an athlete and you go and do a workout in the gym. And then after that, you're feeling a little bit, you know, fatigue and weak. And maybe it's hot, and then you go into a room that has a fan or an air conditioner, and then you take a drink, you know, a cold drink, and when it comes into your body, you feel refreshed after all that vigorous activity. It's exactly the same analogy of how God feels. When people come to thank God and praise and worship God, you are literally refreshing him. You are literally, you know, blessing him. You know, but through that refreshment, you know, you're causing, you're giving something to him, because he's always giving to everybody. So when he now finds people who give back to him in the form of thanksgiving and worship, it's a refreshing to him. See, most Christians, and it's true of all of us, you know, as we grow, we get better and better. You know, all we know how to do with God is to get from him. God, give me this, and God, give me that, and God, give me. And that's okay, because we're his children and God loves us. But you know, there's also a time to give back to God. And thanksgiving is the avenue by which we do that. It literally refreshes God. It literally blesses God. And so Jesus, who is second person of the Godhead, who honored us by coming here to the earth to be with us for a few years, for 33 years, he gave us an insight when he was talking to the woman at the well. You know, and she was talking about, you know, our fathers worship God on this mountain, but the Jews say you worship God in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, in short, there's an Olubi Johnson paraphrase, both of you are wrong. You Samaritans are wrong. The Jews also are wrong. He said, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, you know, is God going to be worshipped. He said, for God is a spirit. So physical location does not limit God. That you're not going to get any closer to God by going to Jerusalem in the Middle East now, or going to one top mountain in Ekiti State or Ondo State. You know, people feel that God hears prayer more. Lorioki. How many will have Lorioki? You know, you see all these prophets. When I'm traveling sometimes, you know, I see these signs, you know, that this place is a special place. Lorioki. In our language, that means that this high place or mountain is a place where God hears prayer and gives you victory. And people think that by going to a physical location, you know, it gives you some type of advantage with God in heaven. It's not true. Jesus debunked that. That's why he said, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. He said, for God is a spirit. So, your bedroom is just as efficacious as Orioke. The important thing is not the location, it's your heart. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, listen to this. The second person of the Godhead said this to us by revelation. He said, for God seeketh such. He says, God needs it. He seeketh. Next verse. So I think it's verse 25 or 26. 26. 23, the one before this. No, 23. Right. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers are worshipping the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, what? Everybody shout it out loud. Seeketh. God's looking for it. God is looking for it. It means a lot to him. I've come to see that in my personal prayer life and all of that. So, my prayer life is inundated with thanksgiving. I'm thanking God all the time because I know what I'm doing now. I know that each time I say it, I'm refreshing him. I actually even say it to the three persons of the Godhead when I'm doing my personal worship. You know, I say, Father, I refresh you with this. Lord Jesus, I refresh you with this. Lord Holy Spirit, I refresh you with this. I might sing a hymn or a song. You know, I'll sing it in the understanding. I'll sing it in the spirit. Then I'll minister. No, that's what it means to minister. The word minister just means serve. What I'm serving God from my spirit. I'm ministering. I'm not asking for anything now. There's a place for asking. Don't misunderstand me. But, you know, I'm just ministering to him. In the Acts of the Apostles, when they were going to send Paul and Barnabas, you know, on their apostolic assignment, the Bible says, and they were in the church at Antioch, you know, certain teachers and prophets, and he named all of them. He said, and as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then the Bible says, and they fasted again, and then they sent them on their way. They weren't only praying, they prayed, don't misunderstand me, and they fasted, but they also ministered. You need to minister to the Lord daily in your prayer life. Personally, not even in a group or alone. Personally. Today, I feel led just to say this. I didn't plan to say it, but I'll just mention it in passing. I sang a hymn to God today. Oh, perfect love, all human thought transcended. We sing it at, wedding ceremonies. Oh, perfect life, be thou their full assurance. Thank you. Thank you. Of tender charity and steadfast faith. And the Lord told me, He said, the Holy Spirit, He quickened me. That's actually the second time I've done it. I did it some weeks ago. Then today, I got up early, and then prayed. Then I 10 minutes, not a long time, I just minister. I just minister to the Lord. And you know what the Lord told me? He said that if you understand this song, you will also understand that it's a song of the relationship between you and me. Because the church is the bride of Christ. So it's not just for husband and wife, which it is. He said, but I show you a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. So when I sing it, I adapt it. I said, oh, perfect life, be to me my full assurance of tender charity and steadfast faith, of patient hope and quiet, brave endurance, with childlike trust that fears no pain or death. And then the third verse, which is actually to the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives you all these things, joy. So I say, grant me the joy which brightens earthly sorrow, and grant me the peace that calms all earthly strife, and to life's day, the glorious unknown morrow that dawns upon eternal love and life. Oh, perfect love, all human thought transcending. I'm not singing it as a marriage thing between two other people. I'm singing it as the bride of Christ ministering to my bride, to my groom. It's the Holy Spirit who taught me. And I just feel led. It's something I normally will not share publicly, but I just feel led to share it, because in this context, that's what we call to minister. You minister unto the Lord. And then I'll sing it in tongues, the same thing. Then I'll sing an interpretation in English, and it's beautiful. Different things, which I cannot reproduce now. But we must learn to minister. So many times we get caught up when we're singing in a group, which is good, like what we're doing in church now. But you must also have a time in your personal prayer life where you minister to the Lord one-on-one. You minister to Him. And you let Him know you understand why you're doing what you're doing. And that you want to refresh Him. And it's a sacrifice. So you take time out of your prayer time, which you're praying, intercession and all that, which is all very good. But you not just take time and say, this is not, I just want to minister to you. And many times I just be flat on my face, on my bed or wherever, and I just stay there for a few minutes. I minister to the Lord. The Bible says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now, in the context of what we're doing today, how do we minister to God properly? In other words, how do we give thanks well? Let's remember what we're giving thanks for. We're thanking God for the last year and for His faithfulness seeing us into the new year. The new year still has a lot of things in front, but this is the end of the first month. And even in this one month, we can see the faithfulness of God. If God has been good to you in this first month, give Him a clap offering. Just in this one month, I can say that my wife and I, so many things. Hallelujah. And that tells you how the rest of the year is going to be. Give the Lord another clap offering. Amen. It's a good year for you. I said it's a good year for you. You may be seated. All right. So, in order to do this thing properly, look at Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Right. And look at verses 6 and 7, I believe. Yeah. Now, it says, sing praises to God. I didn't hear you. Sing praises. You know, the scripture is emphatic. He's repeating the same thing. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with what? With what? With what? Don't just sing. You know, a lot of people they're just emotional. They just sing, you know, and then there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to up your game. You need to sing understanding what you are saying with your mouth. It's not just a nice tune. It's just not a nice chorus. And you like it. And so once you hear that music, you just get emotionally involved and all of that. And then you forget what you are saying. You need to sing with understanding. You know, before we got born again, people like music. You know, different kinds of music. People used to go to disco and all of that. And, you know, so when you now get born again, the praise and worshiping church now becomes a substitute for the music you used to hear in the world, which is, it's not sin. It's not wrong. But you need to come up hither, you know. It's not just an emotional, physical thing that you just do to make you feel good. You're ministering to the Lord. And you need to do it with understanding. And that is why I personally, and the choir knows this, you know, because I look at the songs. I'm very particular about the lyrics. You know, a song may sound nice, but what does it say? If it has no depth, and it's not really saying anything that's going to minister to the Lord, of what use is it? So if we don't just sing songs that are, you know, emotionally a lot of hype, but very little depth in terms of what it says. And that's why you need to sing with understanding. The second way you give thanks well, you find in Psalm 150. Incidentally, this was what Pastor Wally posted today, you know, on Thanksgiving. It was a summary of a message I gave about 2 years ago, 2019. It's 3 years now. 2 years ago, excuse me. You know, so you'll find all of this in that, you know, daily, in the daily Rhema of today. But, you know, it was an abridged form. If you go to the original message, which was in 2019, you will see a more expanded form of those things and these scriptures. Look at Psalm 150 and verses 3 to 5. Psalm 150, which happens to be the last Psalms, the 150 Psalms. Now, look at what it says. It says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Let's give Brother Charles a clap offering. Amen. And the other brethren. You know, I'm always so blessed during the worship when the sax and the trumpet come. You know, God told us to actually do it. God actually said we should do it. You know, praise him with the psaltery and the harp. That's, you know, tambourines, you know, harp. Well, we don't have harps here, but, you know, harps like the guitar, you know, both the bass guitar and the lead guitar, you know, with the timbrel, which is the tambourine, and the dance. So it's okay to dance. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will see me dance today. Hallelujah. Praise him with the stringed instruments and the organs. Hallelujah. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Hallelujah. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Hallelujah. Let everything that had bread
praise the Lord. Give him a super clap offering. Hallelujah. So, when we go into the time of thanksgiving, all these things are going to be there. There's a trumpet, psaltery, harp, tambourine, dance, stringed instruments, organ, loud cymbals, high sounding cymbals. Glory be to God. You know, one thing I love about the Bible is that it's very precise. God didn't leave it to your imagination. He tells you, this is what I want you to praise me with. Glory be to God. That's why we have these talented musicians. Give them another clap offering. Our praise and worship cannot be complete without them. Hello. Okay. Then, number three, you praise him with tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're closing now. And then we're going to start the actual thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And look at verses 14 through 17. 1 Corinthians 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15. What is it then? Thank God for Paul. What would we do without Paul? Do you know that it's only Paul that gives us this revelation? If you remove this verse from the New Testament, we will not know that you can sing in the tongues. And that's why, honey, you find that many Christians don't sing in tongues. In fact, singing in the Spirit is alien in many, many fellowships, in many churches. And I've been in this thing for 40 years. You know, I started in 1979, 41 this year. You know, I've been in England, I've been in America. You hardly hear singing in the Spirit. Hardly. You hear a lot of singing, you understand it. You hear a lot of, you know, fleshly, you know, worship. Like, that's why I said what I said at the beginning. See, a lot of people do the physical one that they can relate to because it's a carryover from the world. So they sing, they dance, they use instruments and all that. And that's fine, you know. But you see, if there's not a spiritual, if the spiritual understanding and the spiritual sacrifice is not behind that thing, it becomes flesh. And a lot of praise worship today in our Pentecostal churches, and not only Pentecostal churches, also in all the traditional churches, a lot, I didn't say all of it, but a lot of it is flesh. It's just flesh. And many times the lifestyle doesn't back it. So what I read from Amos is the, you know, it's just noise. And the whole, God doesn't really like, you know, says, take it away. Let righteousness, you know, come down and mercy. Let, you know, righteousness come like a mighty stream, you know, and live a good life. Live in the Spirit. Then your songs will now have meaning. But if you just sing a lot and make a lot of noise, you know, it won't happen. And sadly, this is a constructive criticism. It's not a destructive one. Sadly, a large proportion of the praise and worship in the church today is fleshly, because the people who are singing, they don't know God. Let me correct that. They're not walking with God as they should. So you've got a lot of flesh. You know, the depth of the lyrics is very shallow. Look at the old hymns. Honey, the old hymns. Pastor G, the old hymns. That's Perfect Love. It was written in 1800 and something. I have not yet heard any song today that is close to that song. Because the people that wrote it, they did it from the heart. Look at John Wesley's songs. Before you find any of our modern day songs whose lyrics are as deep as the lyrics of some of the old hymns, you will go far. We have a few, but there are not many. And that's why in this church you find that I don't just like any song. I'm very particular because I want depth. I want understanding. I want something that will minister to God. Not something just to sing, shall? So singing in the spirit is very important. Not only do we sing in the understanding, you know why? When we do it, it says so here. Let's read verse 15. I will sing in the spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. I will sing in the spirit and I'll sing with the understanding also. I will pray in the spirit, I'll pray in the understanding. I'll sing in the spirit. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, watch this. How shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned? The unlearned there is even the Christian that doesn't understand, and then the unbeliever. Say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou said. For thou, let's all say it together, verily givest thanks, what? Why is thanking God in tongues so important? It helps us to give thanks well, because you don't know the depth of what God has done for you. You just know that the prayer was answered. But you don't know how far God went to answer that prayer. You don't know how many angels were sent. You don't know how God worked in the circumstances, but the Holy Ghost does. So when you now begin to give thanks in tongues, you begin to give thanks about those details. And then you give thanks well. Give a Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. And then the last one, we find in 1 Chronicles, the first person I heard teach on this was S.G. Elton. I can never forget it. It was many, many years ago, you know, and it was in IVCU. Papa Elton came from Malaysia. He usually used to do that. He would come like maybe sometimes once a month or once in 6 weeks. And once Papa Elton is coming, they go and tell everybody, Papa is coming for fellowship. So most, you find out, you know, the Chapel of Resurrection will be full. So I remember that day, you know, I was with Brother Emiko at that time, you know, in my transition. And I came to IVCU, you know, the Ibadan University Christian Union. And Pa Elton was teaching. And he taught from this verse. I can never forget it. You know, he said this. You know, it says in verse 1, it's verses 1 through 3. I won't go further than that. It says, moreover, David, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Haman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy, I didn't hear you, with harps, with psalteries, with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service, of the sons of Asaph, Zachor, and Joseph, and Nethaniah, and Asarela, and the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. That is why the choir can't sing what they like. They have to sing what the king says. Now, of course, we don't have a king today, but we have like the senior pastor. You know, pastors should not just allow anything to be sung in their church. I check what they sing to make sure it's in line with the word of God. Because there's a lot flying around today that is not in line with the word of God. Doesn't mean everything they do. For example, the song they sung today, I didn't know, you know, they didn't come, to, you know, I didn't know what it was, you know. But most of the time, it's okay. But, you know, I just have it. I give them freedom and all of that. But then I just check, just to make sure that nothing goes out of. Because if you're not careful, fleshly worship will enter your church. Of Jeduthun, I didn't hear you. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, and Zeri, and Jeshahiah, and Hashabiah, and Matithiah, Matithiah, yes, six hands under their father, under the hands of their, it means under authority, you know, who prophesied with a what? Harp, to give thanks and to praise the Lord. You see how praise and worship is something that is structured. It's not just arbitrary. Under the hand of their father, you know, and then they prophesy like Brother Charles was doing today, like they were doing on the organ. You know, it's the same song, you know, the same tune, but as the organ ministers and as the trumpet and as the, you know, the saxophone and different instruments, they are echoing what we have been singing. But as they begin to, you know, play on the trumpet, God will start saying things to you in your own heart. It's a prophesying with the instruments. And so, these are the things about Thanksgiving we need to have at the back of our minds. So as we go into the Thanksgiving this today, I want to enjoin us to have all these things at the back of our minds. Remember, it's a spiritual sacrifice. We do it in faith. We do it, you know, the fruit of our lips. We do it from a heart that is clean, with a bad lifestyle that is, you know, pleasing to God, so that it will be pleasing unto God. There's one other thing I forgot to mention, and I'll just say it now as I close. Vows. In Psalm 50, it talks about, you know, if you go to Psalm 50, I didn't go there. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes. Psalm 50, I believe it is. And I believe it's verse 3 or somewhere in there. Psalm 50, yes. And it says, excuse me, let me check my notes. Oh, it's a beautiful scripture. Talking about these same things. Yes. Psalm 50, I believe it's verse 30. Yes. Verses 13 and 14. You know, he says, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? In other words, it's not the physical thing you give me that satisfies me. Offer unto God thanksgiving is a spiritual. And pay thy vows unto Moses. That's where the money part comes in. You know, what is a vow? A vow is something you promise to give God. You make a promise, you know, God, if you do this, I will do this. You know, that's why you pay your tithes and your offerings and all of that. Ah, God, you've been so good to me in 2020. I'm bringing this token. You know, it's a vow in addition to the praise and the worship. So let's keep that in mind, you know, that we should, our praise and our worship should also be followed. That's why for each different categories, we have different categories in the church. We're going to come and say thank you. The choir will sing, you know, we'll dance. All the things that we've mentioned, you know, we will do it from heart, from the right heart. And then we bring our vows, you know, which is our offerings, and we put them down to worship the Lord. Let us bow to pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us better how to give thanks well. As we go into this time of thanksgiving, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and help us so that we will do it properly in a way that will be pleasing unto you, in a way that will bless you, in a way that will be a refreshing unto you. Lord, and we thank you for your word that is challenging us to a higher lifestyle, a higher walk in the Spirit in 2021. A higher level of obedience, a higher level of mercy, a higher level of righteousness, so that every time we say thank you, every time we worship you, it will be pleasing unto you. We ask for all of these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give a lot of super clap offering.